rescue op. Save the dinosaurs from an island that's about to explode. What could go wrong?
Hello, welcome to Fallen Kingdom. We return to Jurassic World by Minute of Time. I'm Brad.
And Dave.
And here we are back to discuss Minute 74 of Fallen Kingdom. But before we get to that, David, heading over to Jurassic-pedia.com, we've got a little stand-in article here up for Dark Jurassic. We didn't talk about it on the April news, but a new website has popped up titled Dark Jurassic, which appears to be an online forum for tracking appearances of de-extinct animals. It's going to tie into Camp Cretaceous or Jurassic World Chaos Effect that's coming out in the month of May as well.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is that it's an actual message board, and there's not too many of those around that even take off anymore.
Yeah, a lot of them sort of died out when the social media came in.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I really don't see them coming back unless like Twitter and Facebook both die at once.
Well, they're getting there.
There is actually a fan one set up on Reddit where I think it's actually fan run that kind of imitates and it's got like people posting pictures or like posting sightings, and some actually are fairly good. And I threw up like a photoshopped image of the worker village and stuff. It's fun actually. I check it out.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think by the time. By mid-May, once we get closer to the release of Chaos Effect, we'll get to know a lot more of what's happening with this website and this forum. So it's just a stand holder here. We've done this before. When we know stuff's coming out, we're going to talk about next minute too with Chaos Effect itself. But just getting these little article placeholders set up, getting all the links sort of linked. And, yeah, just getting all this sort of stuff organised before we get the real deal, go live.
So how are we going to end this?
Well, as far as everybody else is concerned, they burned up on the island.
Dave, how about we get into Minute 74?
Sounds good.
All right, Minute 74. Fallen Kingdom opens with Claire giving Mills a welcome goodbye, and ends with Maisie sneaking out a window. As we continue in Minute 74, Claire convinces Owen to let go of Mills' arm, which we think lucky for Mills, because Owen said last minute that he thought he was going to break it. Mills tries to apologise to Claire again, but just as quick as Owen grabbed him, Claire reaches through the bars and grabs Mills by the back of the head and pulls him towards her hard, and he headbutts the steel bars. We get that loud gong as his head bangs off the bars. She steps back. Yeah, she steps back, and we get Owen chuckle to himself, which is almost, I don't know if you've seen Wolf Creek, and John Jarrett's sort of laugh slash chuckle. It's it's a weird little chuckle that Owen gives here. It's not a laugh. It's sort of like a. It's weird. It's just like a slow, probably more so trying to rub it in than say sucked in. But Mills removes his broken glasses as Wheatley leans in. And Eva says, so are we going to end this or are we going to end this? And I think from the novelization, it's so are we going to end this? He wants to know what the end play is here. We've got these two in a cage. I'd say, obviously, they can't keep them there for the rest of their lives. We need to know what's going to happen. How are we going to deal with this? Mills answers, as far as anyone's concerned, they burnt up on the island. And it's sort of here I have to question, did they tell anyone they were going in the first place? We don't see the DPG again in the film. When Claire got that phone call and ran off to Lockwood Manor, did she tell anyone she was going there? Did she tell anyone she was going to find Owen? Because if we just look at what we see in the film, then yeah, no one even knows they were on the island to burn up in the first place, Mills.
No, I mean, there would be, assumably, there would be an FAA manifest that said they're going to Costa Rica, but I mean, Costa Rica is kind of a semi-largest place. So, I mean, they could be anywhere.
Well, then that comes back to, and I'm sure he mentioned this when they jumped in that plane at the airstrip near Owen's cabin. The fact that they'll jump in that tiny airplane, and then that was flying them down to Nublar. Was there a manifest for that? Did the pilot get back and just never get a phone call to say, "Hey, come pick us up"? I don't even know if that was a Claire organised plane or if that was a Mills organised plane. If it was a Mills organised plane, it was probably a cash in hand sort of thing, and don't tell anyone you flew down here. flying low over the coast sort of thing to avoid radar. It's messy.
Claire told Owen he was on the manifest anyway. So,
Yeah,
I
true.
mean, whether or not he actually showed up for it, I don't know how that works, honestly.
Well, you are flying to a different country. Okay, yeah, you are flying to a different country because technically Nublar's Costa Rica. There's no customs, no border patrol. Did they have their passport stamped by Wheatley when they landed on Nublar? I don't know. It's probably not important, but for the role it plays here in the movie, yes, as far as anyone's known, as far as anyone knows, they burnt up on the island. Maybe. No, because even the operation was secret, so it's not as if they told anyone that they died on the island, apart from some mercenaries that were there around Owen when they tranked him. Obviously, they'd think he burnt on the island, but then the mercenary at the gate called over the radio to Wheatley that Owen's in the truck, so instantly anyone with a radio would have known that Owen was alive at that point. We're not going to look into it any further. The movie doesn't
I'm
care.
still trying to think about how it works with the manifest because, I mean, what if Owen didn't work, end up showing up anyway? You know?
Well, obviously he'd be, or presumably he'd be still sitting there working on his cabin, presumed dead,
Exactly.
until he went to file his taxes or something. Sorry, sir, you don't exist anymore.
That does happen to people, but I mean, is that how it happens to people? They end up on a manifest, the plane goes down, they're presumed dead.
Yeah, but they missed
Like,
that.
oh no, I've been living here the whole time.
There's stories I know of people that miss their flights for 9/11. They're supposed to be on that plane, and for whatever reason, whether you call it faith or luck or whatever, there was instances happened before that flight took off that they didn't get on the plane, and they would have been on the manifest, and they would have probably been presumed dead as well, which. I think that'd be the bigger one, sitting there reading the newspaper or something with a list of names and your names on it. It'd give you the heebie-jeebies. But that's it for the cell at this point. We cut to Maisie still locked in her room. She's working on the door lock with a coat hanger. We cut to the reverse of the door and see that the key is still in the lock. And I had to go back because I assumed that Mills took that key out of the lock and put it in his pocket. After he told Iris to make sure she stays in there.
No, I remember he leaves it in the hole
Yeah.
because we discussed how that minute we discussed the cartoon where the raptor does the thing that Maisie does.
That was familiar. Yeah. And yeah, well, obviously on Mill's side, if he wants to guarantee she stays in there, you'd think he'd take the key, but no, we need it for this scene. Where I call it the movie trope that's probably going back 100 years. Obviously, you just said the Raptor cartoon that shows it. It's a classic Simpsons thing as well, where you do have the bit of paper under the door, and you knock the key out onto it, then slide it back under the door because doors are made high enough off the carpet, tile, timber, whatever the floor surface is, for a key to slide under it. I wouldn't be able to do that in my house because the carpet touches the bottom of the doors, but. The trick works. After pushing that coat hanger through, the key falls down. And she gets the door open and has a look out the crack of the door, only to see a mercenary in the staircase talking on his radio. So all this was for nothing. She closes the door and there's a beam of light that sort of comes through a window that gets her attention. It's not mentioned here. We're going to get to the novel comparisons briefly because my new one did turn up from eBay. Mills had someone on the staircase to watch the door to make sure she stayed in there. So not mentioned in the film, but that's why that murk's there. And there's some radio chatter about it's about to get busy outside or something, which I don't know why they're telling him that. But anyway, as the minute ends, Maisie opens her windows and walks out onto that large balcony that's right outside a window to see what's happening down below. Anything else on that? We're going to get Maisie's
No.
escape and what's happening below next minute.
I will say that during that scene, that it gives me the kind of like the jeebies a bit because I do not do well with heights, and she's just walking so calmly along that edge.
Well, I don't think I'll mention it in the novel comparisons, but in the novel it says she's only 2 stories off the ground. Now, I know in the States your ground level is normally called the first floor. I heard this
Yes,
talk
or
somewhere,
ground.
yeah. Whereas where her bedroom is, or this balcony, that's I'd say it's at least five levels off the ground anyway, without actually naming what level it is. So it's definitely not 2 stories or 2 levels
Oh,
off the
it's a
ground
lot more
anyway.
than 2 stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, stories, we usually measure stories like about maybe 10 feet per is a story. So she's
Yeah.
more a lot more than 20 feet or than 20 feet off the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, they reckon 3 stories or 30 feet is normally a survivable if you've got to escape a fire, if you've got to go over the balcony. You might have your legs might get messed up, but that's sort of survival once you start or survivable once you start getting over that, you're in trouble. Yeah. That's we're not gonna go into that, it's getting a bit grim. First of our novel comparison catch-ups here. As I said before, my third copy of the novelizations has arrived from eBay, so I can go back and do a quick bit of catch up. The crew gets off the island exactly the same. Brachiosaurus death isn't as long. Also, it's mentioned that the island crumbles into the ocean, which not only did the volcano explode, but seemingly turn Nublar into rubble and it just collapsed into the ocean. If they didn't want to show that the island was gone enough. The Mills and Toby Jones meetings are same, unsure if it's said in the film, but Mills confirms that 37 animals were captured and are coming for the auction. So keep that in mind, 37 animals, and then we get what we get in Dominion, or what we get at the end of the film with the stampede out of the lab. Eversole, or Toby Jones, sees the Indoraptor after Mills' little future speech and he wants to see it, and they go down to lower levels. I think we mentioned this during that minute, but there was a scene, deleted or not, where Mills explains that the proceeds from tomorrow's sale will fund our final round of development once we iron out the character flaws, genetic trial traits, or genetic trials and error, mostly error. We can breed and test them in the wild, and we get the caged Indoraptor with the lights out. It's playing with a human skull. Apparently, it's also mentioned then that 2 tranquilizer darts aren't enough to knock it out. You need 3, which would have been good foreshadowing for what we get later with Wheatley, because I'm pretty sure he puts 2 in it, 1 or 2. We'll have to
I
pay
think it's
attention.
two, yeah.
Yeah, so a bit of foreshadowing there, showing that Wheatley's in bad, in going to be in trouble getting into that cage to pull a tooth out. Which would have made more sense than just putting 2 darts in, then him crawling in all of a sudden to the lake without any reason whatsoever.
Well, it's kind of interesting because I don't think that mention of the proceeds is brought up until, because it's re-brought up again in the upcoming minutes here, where I think it's either here or later where Mills tells the two that they need seed money for the Indominus.
Well, he told Toby Jones that when they were up in the lobby slash museum part of the manor,
Ah. I knew it came up somewhere.
Yeah, which is why they go down, because Toby Jones is going to call the deer off because the dinosaurs aren't there on time. And Mills takes him down to the lab to show him what the future's going to be and that the sale's going to be seed money. Yeah, but Toby Jones is excited to see the Indoraptor there, and after hearing the story about it, purposely breaking the lights to lure someone in to fix them. We also get Toby Jones sort of take a step towards the Indoraptor's cage, and Mills saying, oh, I wouldn't stand there. Looking down and seeing a red line of tape on the ground, he steps back across the line, telling Mills that we have to show this to the buyers, which is why we get the Indoraptor at the auction later. It also shows this red line on the ground, don't cross it, and a little bit later, in the film time-wise anyway, to this, we get Maisie down there backing into the dark corridor towards the cage and steps over that same line.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that line's there, because you get inside that line and it can reach you, as we see in that minute where it reaches out and grabs Maisie, or tries to grab Maisie by the shoulder. The vehicles roll, once we get to the vehicles coming off the Arcadia, they roll down a ramp onto a World War II military dock, long abandoned, which is completely different to what we see in the movie. It's a well-functioning, updated-looking dock where... What's up there? That's West Coast America, so Pacific. Well, it's possible, I suppose, that would have been some sort of World War II Army base up in Northern California there. Maybe a reserve unit or... something that would still be around from World War II, but I think it's better they showed the new sort of dock there, and we didn't really spend much time there anyway.
Yeah, it didn't really look abandoned either.
No.
You know? I mean, I would say it looked old, but it didn't look abandoned.
No. The Lockwood Def is very different as well, and the phone must be on his side bedside table and not at the other side of the room. Mills has the same speech about Lockwood being unholy. But as he reaches down to pick up the phone, he reaches past it and to Lockwood's morphine drip and turns the dial right up to a lethal dose and then looks away from the dying man. So there's no smothering in novelization. I love how medical, and you see this in movies all the time, defibrillator. Stuff that's meant to help people can be turned up to a lethal... it's got a lethal setting on the dial. And here, you have a morphine drip. Obviously, it's got a pre-setting on it to issue or supply morphine when needed. Any sort of drug on a drip when needed. But you can turn it up past a lethal dose to be evil in a movie or TV series. And here he does the same. It doesn't explain why Lockwood goes from yelling at him or telling him to phone the police, it'd be better coming from you, to all of a sudden Mills just turns away from him and that's the end of scene. Because we're going to get something a little bit later. When Mills comes back to the room, it's to check. He thinks to himself that he should be dead by now. I'll go and check. But we'll talk about that in a little bit. There's a scene between Wheatley and Mills as the convoy arrives at the unloading docks. Wheatley gets out of the lead vehicle. The Hunter Warrior has returned with meat for the fire. As he gets out of the lead truck, Mills is not impressed by that. He leads Mills to the rear of the truck and opens the tarp to reveal Blue and Zia. Mills asks, who is she? And Wheatley responds, we need the vet. Zia asks for chemicals to disinfect the area and sanitize tools, and Mills tells Wheatley to get her what she needs. Wheatley then asks about what he needs, and Mills tells him if you'll get your money if the animal survives. So we get a little bit of a gritty moment there with Mills and Wheatley. Wheatley just wants to get paid.
I do have to say, I think I kind of like that Mills smothers Lockwood a little bit better than just... turning up the morphine and dipping, because it kind of feels more personal, you know? Like, I don't know why he would have a personal vendetta against Lockwood, but smothering somebody takes a concentrated effort. You have to physically do it yourself. It's not just something where you can do it to somebody and then walk off, you know?
Yeah, exactly. We are, it's, when we get to future minute, it is going to wake up, but this is going to make a little bit more sense. Character, motivations, actions, that sort of thing. But yeah, just the not face to face, but being in close proximity, using the pillow to suffocate instead of just flat out grabbing by the neck and strangling, which you probably could have done as well. Obviously, anyone's watched CSI or any TV show like that, know if you try and strangle someone, you're going to leave hand marks around the neck and probably DNA as well. So the pillow was probably the better way to go. And yeah, we'll catch up a bit more on next minute from the novel. I didn't want to cram it all into 1 minute.
Almost becoming a true crime podcast
Yes. Yep. But Dave, that's been minute 74. How about we get out of here for the week?
Sounds good.
All right, lovely.